Praise the Lord. Thank you, Heather and Daniel and Gwen, for our wonderful praise and worship tonight. Don't take for granted, folks. I've been down this, I think this is the fourth time I've been down here, and the folks doing praise and worship do a wonderful job. And I've had the privilege of traveling lots of different places around the world and being in different churches, different settings, and this is good praise and worship that you have here. And so thank God for it. Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody here tonight. I kind of want to pick up, last time I was here, I talked about how God has always been a healing God. And we looked at several Old Testament scriptures. And tonight I want to look at several ways from the New Testament that God has provided for the Christian and for the, actually for the, really we could talk about for the unbeliever too, to receive healing. Now, there is healing available to the world through the name of Jesus. We see, a lot of times the people that are not even born again, they're not Christians, have received great healings and miracles. In fact, sometimes that is the very thing that brings them into relationship with Christ. I know I've experienced it all over the world where you see folks that will respond in an when there is an atmosphere of faith and miracles are taking place. They're not even a Christian, but they cry out to the Lord and he heals them. And then they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior after that. And so nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. And we thank God for that happening. And it's a great thing. We want to talk tonight, though, and look at several New Testament verses that give us, and really when we talk about receiving healing, this is how we would receive anything as it comes to us from God, that God has provided through the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension to the right hand of God of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are things that are provided. Last week we read in Psalm 103 that we should not forget all of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. Well, how do we partake of those benefits? And we mentioned that last week. Have you ever had a job where you had benefits? But you got to partake of them, right? And so we're going to look tonight from the Word of God at how to partake of the benefit of healing. Now, of course, we're talking about divine healing. Anything that's good comes from God, and we sure thank God for all the great advances that have been made in medical science and things of that sort. And so we thank God for that. Never would ever be against what doctors can do for us. In fact, you know Pastor Hagin, if you've heard him before, he says the natural and the supernatural coming together make the explosive force for God. And I know that there's been many a times that I've always believed God every time I've had to lean on medical science, that I believe God and have procedures done, that it would be the very best one they ever did, that God would give them wisdom and understanding beyond their own ability. And I just thank God for it. Always going to everything believing God, right? Bring God in on it. But we thank God for the doctors and for medical science. They're trying to help us just like we are, like God is, to live a healthy life. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is interesting this morning over at Raymond Bible Church in Broken Arrow there that one of our associate pastors, Marvin Yoder, opened up in this section of Scripture, but he went a different direction than what I am. One of the ways that we can receive healing, not only Christians, but also here the world also, is when God initiates healing. And how does he do that? Through the gifts of the Spirit. This is not where we go to God. This is where God initiates something on our behalf. And he does that as he wills. Now here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Now notice this next. "And to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit," the King James says. Most translations here say gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Now I left off verse 10, talks about then the working of miracles. These are things, these are as the Spirit wills. In other words, initiated by God, the Holy Spirit, if you will. It's not something that we go and we're confessing the word or we're praying about it. This is something that God does by his Spirit. Have you ever been in a service where a minister might say, "Somebody here has something wrong with part of their body. Right now, God's healing you. Well, that's what we're talking about. That's a working of miracles. That's these gifts of the Spirit going into operation. And we certainly thank God for these times. But we again, these are as the Spirit wills, and we don't always have these manifestations and in operation. But God didn't leave us without other avenues for us as Christians to receive Him. And sometimes it seems that these things, when God does miracles like this, and you have, not that every healing is not a miracle, it is, but when you have these working of miracles, you have the gifts of healings and operation where God works through men and women in certain areas of healing. You know, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin Sr., God used him in the area of, especially of cancerous growths, had a lot of success with tumors and cancerous growths with people being healed. I remember a church back in the 80s and 90s, that church, it was completely covered. They had a balcony, and on the wall of the balcony, it was covered with crutches and wheelchairs and walkers and different things like that. There was God was using that ministry there in the area of people that are having problems in their legs and in their feet and walking and even paralysis. A lot of people getting healed of that. Well, that's these gifts of healings, all right? Now, of course, the Lord Jesus operated in all these areas. He wasn't limited in any, but these here are as the Spirit wills. But let's look at some that you and I can act upon all the time. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Thank God for those times that God does initiate it. But, you know, we can initiate our own receiving from God. If He's already said it belongs to us, then we can initiate it. We can go to God and receive it. Here's one way. One way. Through the prayer of agreement that we can receive healing from God. Matthew 18, verse 19. Now you're going to notice, I'm just going to read just a couple scriptures or one, just for time's sake. We don't have time to go through the whole teaching on the prayer of agreement. But just notice here, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth. Now notice that agree part. On earth, well that'd be us here, right? As touching anything that they shall ask. Well, would anything include healing? And health? Well, if anything means what it, if the English words mean what they should mean, then it means anything, and that would include healing, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. Here, two of us can gather together, can come into a place of agreement. Now, here's something great for husbands and wives and just folks of that sort, you know, husband and wives, it's great. You've got an agreeer. You're married to an agreeer. Hopefully, praise the Lord. But if you're not, you can find somebody else to agree with you. But notice it says we have to agree. We can't one hope and one believe. We've got to both agree and believe together. You know, I know I heard in talking with people, I've talked to them before and said, hey, you know, and pray the prayer of agreement. And we pray, and I said, well, do you believe it's done? Well, I hope so. Well, no, it's not. Then you're hoping and I'm believing. We have to both agree and we have to both believe, and it shall be done, he said, of my Father, which is in heaven. So the prayer of agreement. Let's go to John's gospel. And again, we're just mentioning these tonight. And it really doesn't matter. I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference to the Lord, whichever way you want to come at your healing and receive it. Now, you realize this, I'll say this, God's not the one holding out on you. Okay, and we're not going to God to try to talk him into healing us. He's already healed us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he has given us ways through his word to receive healing. You know, if we put $100,000 in your bank account, wouldn't it be nice to know how to withdraw it? Otherwise, it just sits there, right? It belongs to you, but you're never going to have the benefit of any of that money if you don't know how the bank has required that you withdraw that money. So you have to learn how to do what? Write a check. Use an ATM card or go to the bank and, you know, get some cash out. Ever something you're going to have to learn how to do in order to do it. But you have to do it according to the way that the bank has set up. Well, if you will, this is the bank of heaven, if you will. God has banked healing for you and I there. How do we receive it? How do we make that withdrawal? Well, here's one way in John 14, verses 13 and 14. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Now, here again, let me ask you this. Does whatsoever mean the same thing as anything? So here we could ask for healing, right? If you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything, so here again, whatsoever and anything mean exactly what they say, in my name, I will do it. Now, anything there. Now, here, he's not necessarily talking about prayer because we don't necessarily go to Jesus in prayer. Here, he said, whatsoever you shall ask. Really, other translations bring out the idea the word ask means whatever you shall say or demand in my name, whatever you shall call forth in my name, that will I do. Now, let's see how that agrees with Mark chapter 11. Drop back there to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Now, here we're using the name of Jesus in speaking what we desire, whatever it is that we're asking in his name, whatever it is we're declaring in his name. We just sang that name above all names. Aren't you glad for the name of Jesus? Every Christian has been given the right and the authority to use the name of Jesus. And when we speak in the name of Jesus, the devil has no choice but to yield and to get out of the situation. And then God's going to goes to work on our behalf. Aren't you glad? In that name. Here in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Let me say it this way. Whosoever shall ask the mountain to be removed. See, that's saying the same thing he did in John. So say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Now I want you to notice here, Jesus has not said you might. In all these cases, he said you shall have it. The Father will do it. Here he said, if whatever you ask in my name there in John 14, I will do it. Here he said, you shall have. Now notice, we have to speak to the mountain. It's what we speak. It's what we ask. It's what we call forth that takes place when we do it in the name of Jesus. Now, we see a great example of this in Acts chapter 3. Let's turn over there. I tell you, some of these things, you know, for me, I've been studying these things over 35 years now. This summer, June 30th of this summer, I'll be my 36th, if you will, birthday of being born again. June 30th, 1980, I got born again, filled with the Spirit of God. And really, it wasn't even 4 weeks there in the month of July. They asked somebody, who wants to, we're going to have a Bible study over at such and such a house. And actually it was in the basement of the Catholic priest house in our town. And they said, who wants to, and for some reason I volunteered to speak, preached my first sermon within a month of being saved. And I've been going ever since, but studying these principles. And I tell you in looking at this again, getting ready for this week, something on the inside just starts stirring, the excitement about the things of God and the Word of God. Amen. You know, get excited, stay excited about God's Word. That's when things really, really begin to work for us. Acts chapter 3, verse 2 here. Now, Peter and John going up to the temple to pray. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, ask at alms. In other words, he's asking for a gift because he's unable to work. He's laid there daily. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Now, that's not an excuse not to have money. If you go back up in the last part of chapter 2, you see why they didn't have any money. They gave it all. What they had, they gave it so that everybody could be fed and everybody could be clothed and everybody could be taken care of. But he says, you know, I don't have any money on me right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now remember John 14, whatever you shall ask or demand or declare in my name, that will I do. It shall be done. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed. What is he doing? He's speaking in faith in the name of Jesus to the man. And he took him by the right hand, verse 7 said, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Glory to God. Now, see, I would be, well, that worked because that was Peter and John. No, Jesus didn't say back there in John, he didn't say in the Gospel of Mark or in the Gospel of Matthew, any of those, that you had to be one of these 12 that were there, just them it would work for. No. In fact, why don't you, I don't have this scripture on my list, but go to Matthew chapter 28 with me here just a moment. These verses here at the end of Matthew called the Great Commission. Have you ever heard that term? The Great Commission. Jesus commissioning his disciples to go out after he's resurrected and to preach. But I want you to notice a statement here. Some people want to limit these things to Peter and James and John and those early apostles. Well, it passed away. I heard people say, well, those things passed away when the last apostle died. I got good news for you today. Jesus is called the apostle and high priest of our confession, and he's not dead. So the last, if you want to say apostle's been done away with, he hasn't been done away with. These things still work today. But look here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19, and 20. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power or authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now notice verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now if we just stop, look, just stop right there. Whatever I've commanded, teach them to do what I've commanded you to do. Well, you could say, well, he told them if they'd speak to the mountain and work. Well, he told them to teach us that. He told them whatever you say, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do it. He told them to teach us that. See, teach them to observe what I've taught you. So all these things are for us today. Amen. Aren't you glad? So you and I can speak in the name of Jesus, just like Peter did there that day. In the name of Jesus Christ, he said, rise up and walk. Glory to God. Using that name. How many of you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Let's look at John 16. Okay. John chapter 16. So we can receive healing by the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Those are as the Spirit wills. Then we can receive healing by two of us agreeing together in the prayer of agreement. Whatever, anything that we shall ask, and that would include healing. We can receive healing by speaking the name of Jesus. Not only for us, but we can help others receive that way also. And speaking that name. Now here in John 16, obviously we can go to the Father in prayer and receive healing. John 16, 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, someone said this, I heard them say, whenever Jesus or someone in the New Testament would say, verily, verily, he said, that's the same as saying, I swear I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I like that. That helps me understand that. I say unto you, whatsoever, there's that word again, you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Well, is healing a whatsoever? Yes. Sure it is. Hitherto, he said, up until this time, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I don't know about you, but it is sure a joyful thing to be healed. I mean, it's a whole lot better than being sick, right? He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will he do. Well, that agrees with Mark 11. Go back to Mark 11. Let's look at the next verse, verse 24. That agrees exactly with this verse here that Jesus said in Mark chapter 11. Prayer in the name of Jesus and prayer in faith, believing that we receive, will get us the desired result. Mark 11, 24. We already read 23. Let's read verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Well, is healing a thing that you could desire? Healing and health, right? Yes, it is. So, what things soever you desire, if you desire healing, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have. Now, I left the word them off because in the original text, they're not there. If you believe that you receive, you shall have. Well, what am I going to believe I receive? Whatever I've asked for. What did I just ask for? Healing. So, when I pray, you know, I'm not going to, once I have it, see, you know, once you're healed, you don't have to believe you're healed. You know it. You're healed, right? So you don't have to believe it. Then you believe that you receive it when you pray. Not, you know, well, sometime later, I'm hoping I'll get it. No, right now. When you said amen, you're saying, that's mine right now. Okay, it's done. It's a done deal. Don't need to talk about it anymore. See, this type of prayer, you just pray it one time. There's other types of prayer you pray over and over again. This type of prayer, we just pray it one time, because how many times? You can believe you received it now. I don't need to pray again because I believed I received it then. When I prayed. See, it's those things that I had a desire for that I believe or that I received now when I prayed. That is what I'm going to have. He said, and notice again, he didn't say you might have it. He didn't say it could be. He didn't say, well, if it's God's will for you to have it. He said, you shall have it. No apology made there. Okay. I thank God that we're not left to chance. You know, so I think sometimes people think God's up there spinning a big, a wheel of fortune wheel or something. And if it happens to land on your name, then you get it. But if not, sorry. You know, Vanna's not over there showing your name. Your name's not on the board today. Thank God. Thank God. God's not spinning the wheel for us. It belongs to all of us. You see, if Jesus, what Jesus did belongs to anybody, it belongs to you. Okay? You don't have to be anything special. You just have to be you. Just receive from God. Okay. So through prayer. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 16. Here's healing for the sick through the laying on of hands. Mark 16, we'll read verse 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now he told them, go preach the gospel. Everyone that believes will be saved. Everyone that believes not, they've condemned themselves because of their unbelief. And he said, these signs then will follow them that believe. Now, so he's not talking about it. Now it would work for obviously those that go out and preach, but he's talking about those who have believed, the converts. So here's something. So I've heard people say, well, I thought only apostles could lay hands on the sick. Well, that's not true, because these are believers who've believed. These aren't apostles. These are just believers, disciples. And remember when in Acts chapter 9, when the apostle Paul had his experience on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him and, He fell, and the light was so bright. When Jesus left, Paul was blind. They had to lead him into town, and he sent a man, a certain disciple named Ananias, went into town and laid his hands on Paul. He wasn't an apostle, he wasn't a prophet, he wasn't an evangelist, pastor. He's just, you know, if you will, just plain old Christian. And he sent him in there. God sent him to go lay hands on him. Why? Because believers can lay hands on the sick and they will recover here. All right. So, and these signs shall follow them that believe, he said, in my name. Now notice, using the name of Jesus, shall they cast out devils. Now notice this here. You don't have to have some special quote unquote deliverance ministry. Just any believer can cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents if they drink any deadly thing. Now here, he's talking about the things of the devil, handling. He's not talking about, you know, proving your faith by, you know, handling poisonous snakes. All you prove that is how dumb you are, all right? That's just my opinion, okay? I did read here recently there was a pastor that died here just recently. It hadn't been in the last month or two. Had a rattlesnake and it stung him and he died. Well, I guess he proved he didn't have faith. I don't know. But that's not what he's talking about, you know. He's not talking about that there. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, notice here it says, now what do they do? In the name of Jesus, they lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Who's the they that shall recover? The sick. Who's laying hands on them? The believer. How many believers we got in here today? All right, look at your hands right now. See those hands right there? You can take those hands, and in the name of Jesus, you know, now I'm not saying you need to have a willing participant. You know, well, if you can do that, why don't you just go to the hospital and just clear the hospital out? Well, you've got to have willing participants. All right? Now I've gone to the hospital before under the direction of the Lord and prayed for somebody, and you know they got miraculously healed. In fact, I probably haven't told you all that story here. I'll tell you a woman that had been paralyzed from a stroke, totally paralyzed on one side of her body, and had a broken ankle. Found that out later. Didn't know about it when I went to the hospital. Went there and was talking with her, and her husband was there. And to give you a little bit of history, they had been in an argument. He had told her he was leaving, wanted a divorce, and she'd had a history of having strokes before, and the stress of the whole thing, she had a stroke right there, and became totally blacked out on him. She fell. He brought her to the hospital. He's sitting there, and I'm going to tell you how good God is. This man, at the time, he's not a Christian at this time, okay? And so I walked in there, and of course, you know, I introduced myself, and he heard my name, and he said, are you related to Bob Gregorich? I said, well, yeah, that's my dad's brother, that's my uncle. He said, your uncle was my JV basketball coach in 1961. This is 1993 this takes place, 32 years earlier. All right. So we got talking a little bit, you know, about that. But now, see, God knows the beginning from the end. Now, he didn't cause her to have the stroke, but he sure did arrange things awful nice to have me go up there. It just so happened our pastor was out of town. I was just making hospital visits on his behalf that day, and have me go in there, who now because my uncle coached him in basketball, we've got a relationship. At least he perceives that we do. And so I talked with her, and on the way up in the elevator, the Lord told me, he said, just said, ask her two questions. And Psalm 91:16 says, with long life, satisfy you and show you my salvation. And then Mark chapter 16 says, believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Ask her if she's satisfied with the length of her life. And so I asked her. Now, remember, she's paralyzed. She says, that's all it sounded like to me. He said, she said, no, she's not satisfied. He's interpreting for me there. So I said, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you believe that when I lay hands on you shall recover? She said, it sounded exactly the same to me. He said, she said, yes. I mean, he's into this now, okay? And so I laid my hands on, I said, Father, you heard her testimony. According to her words, she's not satisfied with the length of her life. She wants to experience your salvation and healing power. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that your healing power works in her now. Mighty, and she shall recover in Jesus' name. And so I didn't feel anything. There wasn't a cloud of glory. There wasn't an anointing. I didn't get goosebumps. Nothing happened. I mean, it was nothing. It was dead as anything. I mean, I couldn't feel a thing. I thought when I walked out of there after that, I said, well, I'll come back and see you tomorrow. I walked out of there and I thought, dear Lord, what a waste of time. Then I caught myself. I caught myself, said, no, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Your word never returns void. I thank you, Father. Well, I left there and I came back the next day, got there in the morning this time. And as I walk in, I'm walking in the room. I can't see the lady in the bed, but as I'm walking in, there sits the husband and then their daughter I recognize. I didn't really recognize the husband and wife before, but I recognized the daughter. She had come to a couple of youth group things that we'd had over the years. And so I recognized her and they're laughing and carrying on. And I'm thinking, how rude. Here she's paralyzed in the bed. And they're going on, you know, through all this. And when I walked in, there she sat. Her name was Judy Bacon. There sat Judy up in the bed, makeup all on, you know, looking good, hair done. The doctor was there, so I just kind of sat down quiet. She just looked over at me and smiled real big, you know. I thought, well, praise the Lord, you know. And the doctor was trying to explain, you know, what they said, well, I'll be honest with you, we have done more scan. We found you this way this morning, and we didn't. You know, so we don't know. And right now, as we're looking at our new test, we don't see any signs of that stroke. In fact, we don't see any signs that you've ever had any strokes. But yet your medical records say that you've had two strokes before this. So we're not sure exactly what happened. And that's all right. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, they should just tell them the facts as they see them. And so I got to, you know, got to talking with him and praise after the doctor left, and thank God for that. And then, but she did tell her, now you have your ankle's still broken, and you're probably gonna, it's broken really bad, and you're looking at about 6 weeks of therapy and 6 weeks of healing, and then more 6 weeks on top of that of therapy before you'll ever be able to walk again. So this is Saturday, okay? Well, I asked her. I said, "Well, Judy, I didn't know anything about your ankle." I said, "Let me ask you a question. Do you believe if I lay hands on you that you shall recover from that?" She said, "I do." I heard, I understood her this time. Laid hands on her, and I left, you know, that place, and left. I said, "Well, you know, if you're still in here for," because the doctor said, or the lady said, "You're going to have to stay in here for a while because it's going to take us a while to, we can't even set it yet. It's in a bad situation." And so I'm like I said, the pastor's out of town. It's Sunday night service. And at that church, there was double doors in the very back. And I'm up there at that time helping lead the praise and worship. And during praise and worship, those back doors swung open. And I see down the aisle, here she comes. Here comes Judy walking in the church in a pair of high heel shoes. No limp, no anything, just walking right in the church, praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, this word works. Glory to God. Isn't God good? One more thing. Let's look at James chapter 5. This is the last one we'll look at. James chapter 5. By the way, the husband got saved and they didn't get divorced. Amen. In fact, I didn't even lead him to the Lord. He just told her, "Well, God will do this." He said, I want a relationship. When she prayed with him, led him to the Lord. Amen. All right, James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Here's another way we can receive healing. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Here is, it appears this is a person, a kind of a younger Christian probably, that doesn't even know how to receive, how to go to God if they've got sin in their life and get that taken care of. You know, doesn't even know that God's already forgiven. They just need to come confess it to the Lord. And so here it says even that the prayer of faith will save them, the Lord will raise them up, and if they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven. But there's this aspect of anointing them with oil that's kind of a you know, something outward, but that represents that healing power of God. And it really is a point of contact for them to release their faith to receive what God has for them. And certain people, and there's nothing wrong with that. Receiving healing in that way whatsoever. Praise the Lord. Notice it said the sick person should call for the elders of the church. Did you notice that? "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church." Now, for the most part in the New Testament, the elders of the church was the pastors and the leaders, those that were preaching in the Word of God. But you know, really, in this instance, you know, you can someone who's elder in the Lord, all right? Someone who's been saved a long time and believes God and believes the Word of God and can fit into that scenario if you want them to. And they can believe God. Now notice here again, he said, the Lord shall. He didn't say might. He didn't say could. He said he shall save the sick. Again, notice in every one of these areas, through the manifestations of the Spirit, or as he wills, through the prayer of agreement, through speaking in the name of Jesus, through praying to the Father in faith, through the laying on of hands, and then also through the anointing of oil and the prayer of faith, that there's a guarantee that you shall receive. Not that you might, but that you shall receive. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We give you glory and honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that those that were prayed for earlier, that they shall recover. They shall be healed in Jesus' name. It belongs to them. We thank you for it, Father. We give you praise because the work has been done and the answer is ours. Father, we thank you tonight. We give you all glory. Father, on this day that is a week ahead of what we celebrate as the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, when our Lord rode into Jerusalem on this day, and they shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We add our Hosanna to that. Blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for all that you have done. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Well, why don't you stand up on your feet if you would, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Greg, we got anything we need to, any business we need to take care of? I know we have a first-time guest tonight, and you'll do that. I want to shake hands with as many of you that want to before you leave tonight. We're so glad that you're here. Hey, be here next Sunday. Tell everybody. I know Pastor Mrs. Hagen will be excited and look forward to being here with you. And I think it's Communion Sunday. Is that right? Here at church next Sunday. Well, don't leave without shaking hands with at least, five or six folks. Let them know that you're glad they're here tonight. Meet somebody new maybe tonight that you've never met. God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen.